We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And welcome to Blunt Business on CannabisRadio.com. Thank you all for joining us here on the program as we trudge along and talk with some various wonderful people here in the industry, getting some real insight and take, especially in the area of AI, that we know we're probably going to be hearing those two letters more than anything probably in the bulk of the year 2025 in the cannabis industry, and how it can best be repurposed and reused and really just be utilized in the space for various reasons. But I also bring up AI because that's part of a platform that we talk about here on Cannabis Radio all the time. It's our presenting sponsor of the Blunt Business. It's the Buzz CRM, your all-in-one solution with over 500 tools to manage every aspect of your marketing. So AI can handle your emails and social media, personalized workflows, and connecting with customers everywhere. We already have it built in. And of course, there's every AI that's out there, but it's really about what we go ahead and put together to make the AI work and become so learner friendly and will adapt so quickly. We also have our various features like our unique missed call text back feature. We have a brand new redesign for 2025. Doesn't matter what kind of business you are. It doesn't have to be just a cannabis dispensary. It could be a med spa, e-commerce store, franchise, whatever it might be. With one single affordable plan, you don't have to go have multiple subscriptions. You don't have to go through and find different logins and passwords that everybody else has to go look for. No, find it in one place. Cover with a single affordable plan, more bang for your buck, boost your ROI. Subscribe right now, thebuzzcrm.com, thebuzzcrm.com, and make sure to tell them that Blunt Business sent you. So my next guest, first time joining us here on the program, we're very privileged and happy to have her on. She's a cannabis industry trailblazer, CEO of StrainBrain, revolutionizing cannabis shopping with AI. She's a founding member, was a founding member of Green Thumb Industries, we've also talked about here on the program, helping it to grow into a $1 billion company. Accolades also include recognition by the American Lawyer and Crain's Chicago Business. I'm here with the CEO of StrainBrain, Dina Rollman. Dina, thanks for being on with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So glad to have you on. Though just going by everything that's being presented to us, really glad to have your insight here on the program on various issues. So let's go and get started. First of all, we've talked with Anthony Coniglio, who's over at New Lake Capital Partners, and love him. He's been great several times on the appearing on the show. So you've been brought on now to join their board of directors, highlighting your quote unquote deep understanding of the evolving regulatory landscape, end quote. So with Republicans now controlling both houses, House, Senate, and the White House in 2025, we're recording this roughly a week before the inauguration of President-elect Donald Trump. And we know that we already had senators and House representatives already being submitted. Everything's going to be in place. How do you anticipate this landscape shifting now? And what unique perspectives will you bring to New Lake's board coming into this new year?
Well, first of all, you know, I am delighted to be appointed to the board of New Lake. It's a great organization on its own. And Anthony Coniglio is just a fantastic human. And I'm looking forward to learning a lot from working with him and the board. So, great way to kick off 2025 for me personally. And, you know, my role at Green Thumb Industries for years was to oversee our government affairs department, which meant, you know, tracking the laws and policies and regulations that governed each of the 15 states that we operated in, the states that were coming online, and of course, monitoring the federal landscape. So there's always a lot of action. The good news is all of us who have been in the industry, responsible at all for law and policy for any amount of time, are really, used to expecting the unexpected. Nothing has been certain. We've seen, the Cole memo come, we've seen the Cole memo ripped up, and now we've seen years of existing without a Cole memo. Attorney generals have come and gone. Now, presidents have come and gone. We're still here. We're still federally illegal. We still would love help on the federal level, through rescheduling, through executive action, through Congress, helping us out, passing some laws. Do we expect any of that this year? Not really.
No.
I don't think any of us are really too optimistic about like positive legislation happening this year, including sadly the Safe Banking Act. So really we're a little bit more in a wait and see position here. How it the best outcome it seems to a lot of us would be status quo. If the Republicans, are occupied with other priorities, and feel that this state patchwork model is working well enough, then it may, in some ways, actually be a quiet year for cannabis on the federal level in 2025.
So we know
Quiet.
that there's a few things we're looking forward to in terms of what will be given to us from Washington, D.C., that goes back from what the Biden administration was initiating from last year, the DEA and the rescheduling of cannabis to Schedule 3. We've been waiting for it. Right now, we're waiting for a DEA judge that is now setting a hearing for next week to go ahead and finally give us the ruling on that, which, I think with everything that's been out there with public comment and what's been brought by various medical professionals. I mean, I forget how many hundreds of medical professionals that brought together to HHS the presentation of the DEA that cannabis is definitely something that should be allowed to be researched, allowed to be brought down to a lower scheduling. That I think right there from the financial, medical research aspects is going to be the benefit that we're going to get from DC this year. I think that's
Well,
going to be a definitive right now.
as I said, expect the unexpected. Yesterday, the judge overseeing the rescheduling hearing delayed the hearing by months, at least, because of what he's viewing as, I guess, improprieties in the way the DEA has participated in this process. The DEA did take a position in favor of rescheduling as we went into this rescheduling process, yet is, according to the allegations of a new lawsuit, conducting itself in a way that shows it's actually kind of opposing and undermining the very process that it's overseeing. So, confusion abounds, uncertainty abounds. We don't know when the next, when the rescheduling hearing will kick off and what it will look like. So, as usual, we're sitting here, expecting
Right.
further, a further roller coaster ride.
Well, and take it from what you're saying. I'm taking it from Forbes real quickly on that ruling, talking about a disturbing quote and embarrassing revelation about claims of communication between DEA officials and groups opposed to cannabis policy reform. I can see where it's being mentioned, but I still feel like, I mean, by the end of the year, I can't see that this could just continue on. Plus, what's the incoming administration going to go and say about coming in? I mean, if we do have HHS coming in, and say that we have Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who has been in favor of cannabis and psychedelics and other various normalities outside of what is being brought in by pharmaceutical companies, maybe there's some kind of intervention with that as well that comes into place. I think it will make a change. But I think what's happening with the incoming administration, there is a support among the hierarchy, the higher ends of the cabinet that do support. We're probably going to still have blowback still coming out from congressional, from policymakers in general. Even you going through government affairs through Green Thumb Industries, you've had the interactions with policymakers, I'm sure. And, it's almost like, I don't know if it's hands are tied or if it's just the lobbying money is not enough because it's being overpowered by how much big pharma is being put into the mix. What would you say would be the, what do you think would be from your own experience that could be the tipping point that will bring us maybe the finally going to see certain legislation that's been already been written, ready to be put on for a vote, put out there for a bill. And I also keep saying about this from last year's episodes leading up to this year, that with this alignment right now of one side being able to go ahead and hopefully get into the process of starting to pass bills, if they're single bills, if they're, omnibus, whatever it might be, then maybe we'll start seeing a system in the next 2 years that maybe bills will be passed and maybe Congress will actually start being officially running like a machine.
We can only hope that we get out of the gridlock that we've been in. Frankly, I am not sure what we could reasonably expect right now. Again, when you're kicking off a new presidential term here, installing your new players, there's new congressional leaders. Let's get through the confirmation process, first of all. I mean, right now it's a little bit of a game of musical chairs, and let's see, where everybody's sitting when the music stops. I guess, 10 years in, I'm in a very like one day at a time approach. I don't like to get too
Right.
far out ahead with any kind of crystal ball, because it usually doesn't age very well. Again, there's not really a lot of hope for the Safe Banking Act. And given that we can't get that passed, I guess we don't really see 2025 as leading to like much other legislative reform. If we could get the farm bill passed this year and get some clarity as to, the hemp and cannabis situation, that would be really helpful for this, the cannabis industry and the hemp industry. That it's sort of everybody's in limbo over that, and it expired last year. It's been expired for more than a year
It's
now.
been delayed. They haven't been able to put anything. It's amazing, but it's all been kicked the can down the road. But that's why I'm hoping that, it's also, I don't know if it's something of resistance or what it might be that's why there's been such a negligence or just an ignorance that even kind of like follow along and then finish this up. But I always said that, if President Biden was able to go and get this where it was finally initiated and rescheduling was in place, which should have been done last year. It would have been a win for him. It would have been something that would have been very much accredited to him because at least that would have been, aside from the expunging of federal offenses, aside from just this year, I mean, at least we would see progression. And again, in 10 years, like you said, Dina, I've already heard the words cautiously optimistic. I can't stand those words, but that's said so rampantly in this industry. But also, I think in the same way, it's like, I don't want to hear happy talk either. So I'm trying to go and say that there's got to be something here. That if there is at least some alignment, if there's some parallelism right now amongst policymakers, that maybe we'll not have to be worried about so much lobbying money to be coming in to go and sway their opinion or to go ahead and move forward. I just think that there's a chance that we can finally see Congress finally do what they're supposed to do. Because there was such a change in what the election was from every various race there was from president to House to Senate. There was an overwhelming mandate, I believe. And maybe that's something that maybe these people are going to finally go and pay attention and say, you know what? If the American people said this was what needs to be done, let's finally initiate that because they can't keep having the approval levels they've had for so long. Now, I want to move on into AI itself because you had a post that talked about looking ahead to AI on LinkedIn. And I would recommend everybody go and look for Dina's LinkedIn page. So much you put out it there. It's really wonderful. I mean,
Thank you.
real little blog post is just chock full of information. And you predicted that AI in 2025 would be a transformative force in the cannabis industry. And given the potential shift in AI regulation under the new administration, how do you see StrainBrain adapting strategies to ensure both compliance and innovation?
So, this unfolding framework for AI will be, a topic of conversation for every single industry in 2025, no doubt. The amount of, podcasts, website, posts, just the general conversation around AI with, hugely influential figures taking the lead, including, the head of, Meta, AI for Meta, the head of OpenAI. There's a real balance that everyone has an interest in achieving here, which is let's not stifle innovation. Let's, AI is going to be able to do so much for our society, including, medical advancements regarding cancer, things like that, right? At the same time, we've seen already, in the wrong hands, people can use your data, and use AI to, really injure, our citizens and our consumers. So it's on legislators, federal and state, to find that right balance. Some of the early priorities will be sort of preventing abusive use of AI and having safeguards in place for data privacy. So the good news is for StrainBrain, the way we touch the industry, which I'm happy to sort of give an overview of in a minute, the most relevant part of AI regulation for us would be data privacy. And we already have a robust approach to data privacy, and proper use of any and all, you know, consumer data that we have. So we will be monitoring all the legislation that gets passed this year. You know, again, you know, my background in government affairs should be pretty helpful in terms of my network and my understanding of how this stuff works, to stay a step ahead of it. So far, we're not seeing AI legislation related to specifically the cannabis industry. I have a LinkedIn post coming up that's a little teaser about how we are going to eventually see that overlap where our cannabis regulators and legislators start thinking, oh, wait, now that AI has crept into our industry, how do we want to regulate that? So I think, you know, there are more complexities ahead, but I'm confident we can navigate it. But, you know, Strain Brain's product is not primarily a data collection software. It's a SaaS software tool. We call it the AI Budtender. And what it is a personalized product recommendation engine. So right now we know that, you know, consumers who are shopping online or at the kiosk in store, they go to that menu. It can frankly be overwhelming for someone like me who is not a new cannabis consumer, but, you know, for the newbie consumer who's never bought cannabis before, seeing, you know, 200 options for edibles and 300 options for vape pens, you know, really puts a lot on the consumer to figure out how to get the product that's going to give them the effect that they need.
So, Dina, I want to go ahead and follow up on and do a little more diving deeper into the AI Budtender experience, because I know you talked about that and you spoke with Cannabis Equipment News about that. I want to go ahead and follow up on that and talk about that. And also, we go more into your what you got to go and talk about and you spoke about when it came to your 10th year attending BizCon, MJ BizCon over in Vegas back in December. We're going to go and follow up on that as well. And so much more. I'm here with the CEO of Strain Brain, Dina Roman, here on Blunt Business. Website is Strain Brain, and here's how you're gonna spell it. So it's Strain Brain, but put a dot between the A and I. Strain BRA dot IN. That's how you spell it. Make sure to go look at the website. Make sure you find it as we go to commercial break. We'll be right back.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Blunt Business. I'm here with Dina Roman, CEO of Strain Brain here. And I want to go first of all talk to you about a recent article that you were featured on about AI budtenders demystifying the cannabis shopping experience. And what is right now being done is that your tech is able to go and help new cannabis users and seasoned consumers wanting to venture out. And you make mention of that. Being 10 years in the industry, you're a proud, happy cannabis consumer, but, quote, I can't keep up with the number of products that are arriving at stores every day. And you added also that the technology from Strain Brain can help consumers like yours venture out and try new cannabis products behind their tried and true. So, therefore, that AI budtender experience. And you were mentioning that just briefly, real quickly before about having the AI budtender and product recommendation engine. Now, we know with budtenders out there, it's honestly in the last 10 years, I would say that they've had to redefine who they are because of the fact that if you're able to go ahead and learn about the consumer's behavior, what would be best suggested recommended products for them? And making it much easier for the budtender to go and say, listen, you know, they might not be able to go and sample all the products that are available out there. Because, like you said, so many that are being made on a regular basis. And how many different products might be on a dispensary's shelf? So, you talk about how Strain Brain is a good tool for anyone who's new to cannabis, but it's really for everybody. So talk to me about real quickly about that in terms of what the technology is able to go and do to create that real steadfast AI budtender experience.
Yeah, so you know, a lot of people, either again new to cannabis or been around for a minute or two like me, have want they're shopping for a particular effect. At the end of the day, you want help with sleep, you want to feel energized, you want to feel giggly. That's why you're consuming cannabis. So what you want to do, whether it's for a newbie consumer or a more seasoned one, is take some of the pressure off of education and terminology. You know, not everyone's going to know what an indica or sativa is, a terpene, or see, cannabinoid ratios, things like that. Our industry is sort of behind, I think, probably where we all want it to be in terms of educating consumers. And it's that education is an ongoing project for all of us in the industry, but we know we're confronting a lot of people that just simply don't know why they want the cannabis that they want. And some are curious to learn, and we will be, down the road for Strain Brain unveiling additional features that provide that type of education for the consumers that want it, but not burdening consumers who don't want a whole lot of terminology with it. So this way, when you use Strain Brain, you're being prompted with four questions that relate to what effect do you want, what flavor profile, what form factor you want, and what strength. The newer consumer may want to use our little sliding scale and go all the way down to, pretty low strength. And then some of our more seasoned consumers may, push that slider bar all the way, to max strength. And that way there's, those selections are being fed through an algorithm compared to the inventory that's in stock at that store, and coming up with your best matches, so you can have confidence that without having to navigate, a menu with thousands of products on it personally, somebody did the work for you, and you don't actually even have to see how the sausage is made. Similar to on Amazon, you're going to get your, best results, and you don't know why. You don't see their back end algorithm, but you know based on using it often, it's getting you to the products you want. That's what we want with Strain Brain, is to build that relationship and trust that the consumers who don't actually go into the store knowing what product they want walk out, then take it home and have that experience that they were looking for.
I know this is off the deep end when I say this, but I always think about going back when I look at the products like this here and what this AI budtender does and how it's able to go ahead and train and learn what the consumer is going to want and what would be best for them. I always think of Neil Clark Warren, eHarmony.com 20 years ago, right? The 64 question personality quiz and how they were going to find out to best identify who your best partner would be. In the same way here, what would partner would be the best product that would go for what you're looking for? And I know that you have a pretty expansive, excuse me, way of being able to go ahead and identify what works best for those people for those products. And at the same time, you're boosting certain products and getting into the forefront so that you'll have more people be more impulsively buying at a higher rate. And, there's been a lot of cases where you've had a significant increase in revenue and sales for different companies that have been able to go and use this particular using Strain Brain boosts or just using the AI budtender as well. That's just a good encouragement to get exactly what the customer wants. So real quick, you tell me about that in terms of what you've been going to do with this technology and the fact that it's one of the things that is very important. Put it like this, in shaping the future of cannabis retail, because you talked about that at MJ BizCon when you spoke over there, your perspective on the interplay between technology and cannabis shifting and what Strain Brain does in that role.
So what we want to do is bring the cannabis customer experience into the same evolving space that consumers are facing in every other part of their shopping journeys, whether you're at, Nordstrom's or, like I said, or Amazon or, what have you. You're starting to see AI filter into those experiences with more personalized recommendations with, chatbots, which Strain Brain is not a chatbot, but we're seeing other shopping circumstances that chatbot, all of that is really trying to streamline and improve that customer experience. So technology has been a little bit behind in cannabis. We, with the sort of cutting edge strides being made in other verticals, they haven't really been attracted to the cannabis industry. We're a little behind, but I think that AI is going to be able to kind of leapfrog us forward. And we're going to see all types of efficiencies brought in, cultivation side. But certainly on the retail side, it's that customer experience. Customers in a year, they really won't notice or care that something is AI because sort of everything will have, I think, folded AI into it. So we at StrainBrain are focused really on the experience itself. And we don't want to sort of burden our consumers with thinking they need to even understand what AI is. They don't need to. All, it's sort of like you don't need to know how the sausage is made. It's, years of work were put into that algorithm and refining it, so that we can give you a good recommendation. So that, again, when instead of having a confusing shopping experience where you're overwhelmed and you buy a product and you have very little confidence that what you bought is going to give you the effect you want, now suddenly you're leaving that transaction feeling like I got a product that is a 97% match for the criteria that I put in. I'm feeling good about this, and I might even buy the one that's also the 94 and the 91 because this gives me a like an objective basis to understand what I should be purchasing. And we see with the consumers that use StrainBrain, they're spending on average 23% more than
That's
somebody who
great.
doesn't. And one of the reasons I got so excited about StrainBrain and joined this company was, to me, it seemed to be solving two problems at both ends of the spectrum. One for the consumer who's overwhelmed by the cannabis shopping experience right now. But the other on retailers, how do we improve the customer experience and then translate that into increased revenue? And here we go. And StrainBrain ties in and integrates with any of the retailer loyalty programs. So suddenly you have this kind of win-win where you can use StrainBrain and say, if you use StrainBrain, here's an extra 10 points in your loyalty account just for using it. And guess what? Here's an extra 20 points if you actually buy the product that was recommended. And so retailers that are sort of gamifying that way are seeing around a 20% increase in loyalty signups, now that there's this understanding, like not only are you getting your loyalty points to be used for at the store, but also by using just by using StrainBrain, which is giving you a benefit, you're also earning more points. So we like creating the win-win like that. So
Part of it is, and I get what you're saying, where the company doesn't necessarily need to understand how it is you're able to go and make it where the consumers are going to go and buy more and try to train them on how they're supposed to be a consumer and understand how the AI is supposed to work. I totally agree with you on that. It's just a matter of if when this is done, I mean, you're just using what you have in terms of whatever input's being put into it and allowing the consumer to go ahead and just not be overwhelmed or overpressured, but they're just going to find the right products because you're going to take the information going to be input by that customer and they're going to find something they're going to like. It's not going to be dissuading at all. It's going to be much more encouraging and possibly fostering some more investment or more spend on them because they want to just try other things that look like they're a great option for them because you are using the AI to go ahead and get the best in mind for that customer by what they're giving. It's a matter of leave it to the customer to go ahead and input what's going to be their best recommendation, their best suggestions, and then let the AI go ahead and do the work itself. And
And
that's
let's not forget, as we talk to retailers, more, generally what we're hearing is more, on average, more than 50% of cannabis purchasing transactions originate online. Well, there is no human budtender when you're shopping online. So that confusing menu, there's nobody to turn to help you navigate it. So we're meeting the consumer where they are, which is online, helping them at that point. We love human budtenders. We think, the ideal scenario here is you're sitting on your couch at home, it's after hours, the dispensary's closed, but you're noodling around, you're using StrainBrain, you're putting the products in your cart, you're checking out, you're ready to go. But then when you walk into the store the next day, talk it over with a budtender, see if they have additional recommendations, like
right.
see what else you want to learn. Give the budtender feedback about, hey, I tried these products, I liked them, but I want more of this, more of that, et cetera. So we look at it as something that, really is for the consumer when a budtender's not around, but then is also a great tool for budtenders to use in store.
I love the way you can put that together because if it's the online touch point, and then when they go into the store, it's not just this fresh, ice breaking kind of experience that the budtender has to work with the customer. That customer's already got some understanding and there's already been a bit of a relationship already started. So it's just a matter of just following up on that. And then already having that without the budtender spending too much time to educate, the AI budtender is doing the education for them and giving them the exposure to the right products they should be directed to, which takes away, I mean, so it just revolutionizes the customer service experience that budtenders have to handle, so they can also handle multiple customers coming in that already have a big understanding and a wherewithal of what's going on when they come to the store. Agreed.
Exactly. Exactly. And we know that retailers, you know, often they have priorities in which products they're trying to move, whether they're vertically integrated and trying to, you know, sort of push their own products, which are their highest margin products, or, you know, there's something that's going to be expiring that's in inventory, or, is, you know, something new to try that's, you know, they really want to build awareness on, whatever you want. In the back end of StrainBrain, you can designate those products to be boosted, you know, which is gives a retailer a lot more control over that, you know, product recommendation interaction than with human budtenders, who you can, you know, you can tell them, this is what we'd like you to prioritize, you know, in your conversations this week. But the retailer ultimately doesn't have a whole lot of control or much way to measure how much traction that actually got.
We're going to go back to commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about a few of the things that you mentioned over to MJ BizCon. One of the areas I looked at was predicting a wave of mergers and acquisitions in the industry, and also uncertainty around the federal landscape. So I want to get some comments on those areas that you spoke about and more. Again, here with Dina Roman, CEO of StrainBrain. Once again, website is StrainBrain, and just put a dot in between the A and the I of brain. That's it. StrainBrain.in. You can almost rhyme it if you go and get it right. StrainBrain.in. Make sure to go and take a look at the website and come back for final questions after this. We're back with final questions with Dina Roman, CEO of StrainBrain here on Blendlicious. And Dina, again, really appreciate this conversation. It's been so wonderful, just kind of just really working around everything when it comes to AI and having this conversation. This was really in the area that I know people are going to be talking about. It's not just a buzzword right now. It's really just a state of mind of where the industry is going right now. And one of the areas, there were a couple of things you looked at when it comes to the new year and where the industry is going to be going. First of all, is the uncertainty around the federal landscape. We talked earlier in the program about, you know, do we see any kind of policy relief coming from Congress or from Washington, D.C. in general, which, you know, again, we're both kind of in the same mindset of, I might be a little bit optimistic or a little more glass half full, thinking that maybe there's going to be something with a change and how things are being done in Congress, that maybe we'll start moving things along, because we know bills have already been prepared. Can they get brought up to a vote? Will that be a point where things are moving so quickly that we'll get to a vote on that? That's what I'm hoping for. That's the only reason I can even have hope at all, if anything will happen. But the other thing part is that is your experience in navigating complex regulatory environments. So regulations, compliance, oh my God, it's ad nauseum in this program, but of course, I will never stop talking about compliance in this program. It's so important. We know that some people might think that AI might be a possible solution to help foster the kind of compliance standards or just the bare minimum of compliance standards needed for an outfit. And I just want to know what you want to say to people for those that they think that that might help out in the compliance or regulatory standpoint, that AI might be the answer, the end all be all answer. How would you say it would, what would you say to that?
I think it will have, you know, a great benefit from a compliance standpoint. A huge part of compliance in the cannabis industry is just keeping records,
yes.
You know, so whether that's inventory records or the records of any, what they call plant inputs, you used some fertilizer here, you used a pesticide there, really everything is tracked, you know, from a record keeping perspective in cannabis, which is really time consuming,
right.
You know, can be riddled with error, human error, you know, no harm intended, but just the nature of the beast. And, you know, collect, you know, keeping records stored, and you're losing any ability generally to use any data analytics to look at your records. So you have these records from a compliance perspective, but you're not doing, you have a massive amount of data you've collected that you can't action in any way. So I'm really excited to see how, you know, the day-to-day operations, let's say, of a dispensary, whether it's, you know, the opening inventory check or store closing inventory check, the cash management, really the inventory management of which products you should be stocking more of, what's selling well, who is your customer. You have like all these mandates as to how your store operates from the moment, from before it even opens in the beginning of the day to when it close, after it closes. There's regulations governing every piece of that. And the more we can free up dispensary staff to sell to customers and educate
Right.
customers, that's the goal, right? So the more you can automate those parts of it using AI, the better customer experience you can provide, which we're a huge believer in, should really be the focus for retailers.
And I think just people need to also realize that when it comes to AI in general, that there's just certain positions, certain roles that are within traditional businesses itself that just need to redefine itself. I mean, I say this right now because coming out of the media industry, that we're seeing a lot where the AI companies, tech AI companies, are coming in and they're already buying into, like, they want to go and get into the archives. They want to know they're going to get involved and entrenched into the workings of what various, legacy publishers, magazines, newspapers, etc. And you know what? Look, that industry will eventually have a change around where they're advancing money to these companies to keep them operational to a certain extent until those companies, which they're not making enough money on ad revenue, they're going to dry up. And once those intellectual properties are available for pennies on a dollar, these tech AI companies will come in, take the branding, and they'll be able to go and operate and continue seamlessly without any issues. But that's an industry that's going to be subject to having a lot of issues. But the cannabis industry, it's just a matter of just redefining. Okay, journalism, you're not so much the people writing the stories. You're going to feed it into the AI system to write the stories for you, but you need gatherers, you need fact finders, you need investigators, you need people that are going to be putting the input in there because the AI can't go out there and take a microphone and start recording interviews with other people. It can't do it itself. Same thing here with the compliance. You got to be able to take the input of what's being done in terms of testing, third-party testing, lab testing, what's being done in terms of checking the inventory, making sure everything's in the right space. The AI can't do it for you. Somebody has to have that particular role to make sure what's being put into AI is going to put out the right reports and all that compliance is head above board. Now, finally, I want to go and talk about one other reflection you had at MJ BizCon. You talked about a wave of mergers and acquisitions in the cannabis industry. And being that you're now entrenched as a new board member at NewLake Capital Partners, you're obviously going to see the action happening. You're going to have a ringside seat for it. What do you think about the fact that we're going to have this here? You just feel like, is there just a lot of consolidation you're going to see right now? Because some companies that are underperforming, the larger MSOs are going to be able to go and just swoop in. Where do you see things going this year in that realm?
Yeah, we're seeing a combination of a lot of really, what we'd call like distressed operators. They're just simply not in a position because of 280E, to run any kind of a profit, and so they're getting into a position where, they're on thin ice in terms of being able to continue operating. There had been hope in 2024. Well, with rescheduling, 280E will go away, and it was going to rescue, I think, a whole lot of operators. And now that it's indefinitely delayed, anybody who was just sort of hanging on, waiting for that miracle, probably needs to be taking a hard look and thinking, how does 2025 really look for me, and is it time to get out? A lot of the MSOs, the larger MSOs, they're struggling too under really heavy tax burdens on, taxes owed, for past years, and on top of taxes, just day-to-day 280E taxes. So they're hoarding cash. And so I don't think it'll be the kind of frenzy we saw maybe 5 years ago, where everybody's stock prices were up, cash was plentiful, and tons of M&A was happening. Here, it really is going to have to be very strategic. No multi-state operator wants to pick up licenses anymore just for the sake of the having more licenses in a state. If it's not a solid performing store, they don't want it. It's just, the stock prices are too low to want to do, too many deals in stock, and nobody wants to give up the cash. So it's a little bit, needs to be a very good match of a solid operator who just is not ready to, make it through, and, getting paired up with these some of the MSOs that still have some, cash in stock to play with.
Right. I know that before the end of the year, I talked with Jeffrey Trapp, who's running operations over for Florida, state of Florida, for Planet 13, and the fact that they're getting ready to go and make all the changes to the VidaCann stores are down here in the area. And just knowing that those kind of deals are going to be coming into the forefront much more aggressively than before. But do you think that this might just be the year where that will happen? Because then hopefully by the end of 2025, maybe rescheduling will be resolved. So maybe the 2026 tax returns, people can actually get start writing off, about 10 or 12% of their revenue and be able to go and collect that back. And then at the same time as well, maybe the mergers and acquisitions will slow down because the economic environment might actually have a significant change by the end of 2025. Do you see that this is just one of those years where it's very transitional, or do you think this is something of a longer pattern?
I do think it's very transitional right now because there's so much uncertainty. Again, one minute we think we're about to start our rescheduling hearing, the next minute it's canceled, delayed. So we're constantly in a reactive mode here and trying to anticipate what's next. But deals takes month takes take months to close. There's no acquiring a cannabis business without having to get regulatory approval. In most states, that's can easily take 3 months to a year. So you've signed that deal and you can't close it until you get that approval, and the world is going to change 10 times over while you're waiting for that approval. So it's dicey. It's not for the faint of heart. One thing I didn't mention, but that I think will be interesting to watch, is there are multi-state operators who are not publicly traded and haven't had to have this roller coaster in their stock prices. Those are interesting because a lot of those are actually profitable businesses. They're doing really well. They're a little bit stealth, a little bit less on the radar, but they're building really strong companies. I think those may be more of the acquirers that we see this year rather than the kind of headline MSOs that we're usually reading about.
It's going to be a whirlwind year for the industry, just because there's going to be, again, I really like I make mention of it. I'm glad you kind of qualified on that transitional. I think we're going to see just very much of that, but I think conditions are going to start be much more favorable for the industry to start continuing to thrive. And listen, we still have several new markets that have came into place. Florida might not have come greenlit, but we have new markets still in place, and we still have others that are still getting built up in Ohio and others that we'll see what comes of it. And we could still see that maybe towards the election season once again, maybe some other states will be greenlit, but we're getting so close to getting medical in as many states as possible to the point where it's just overwhelming majority that says, okay, maybe it's just time to go ahead and put a bill in front. And that's what I'm hoping for is just that there's a groundswell of support for cannabis across the board. We already know that's been there for the entire country. I don't expect interstate commerce any kind of a couple of years or legalization for another few years, things like that. But I think there's going to be a few things that release that could come through. And I really, if I was a betting person, I still think rescheduling is going to happen. I just think this judge has been a little bit way too apprehensive. I don't think he wanted to have this on his docket in the first place. And he's been across the board. Oh, I want to be able to read. I don't want to be able to be hurried up on this. I want to have time for public comment. He's trying to stretch this out for so long. And it's as if it's, I don't think he's just trying to be, nefarious about it. I just think it's just, I don't know if he just doesn't care or it's just he doesn't want to be a part of this, but he was inherited this case. He has to go through with it. And for the fact he wants to go and delay and all this, I mean, I don't know who's going to benefit from it or who might be causing the benefit that delay to be happening in the first place, but who knows? I still think
Well,
it comes through at the end of the day.
there's such a balance here because we know what outcome we want from this hearing.
Oh, yeah.
And if there's something nefarious, improper going on in this rescheduling process where the DEA is, having a negative impact on our ability to get rescheduling, well, then I think we are in favor of a pause and let's look at this and get a good process. That has to be balanced with, on the other hand, we want rescheduling as soon as possible. So, as usual with everything in cannabis, it's complicated. It's not black and white. There's a lot of nuance, a lot of complexities, and we have a lot of smart people leading the rescheduling process for the industry. I think we're in good hands. And people are really fighting the good fight to get this pushed through appropriately and not let the DEA somehow sidetrack this.
Well, also the thing is too is that the media doesn't ever bring this up at all. I mean, there's so little coverage about it in the first place among any legacy or mainstream media in the first place. And if they ever do, it's always about, well, if anybody's a spokesperson for the cannabis industry, they find some of this kind of just a good linchpin they can bring on, then bring up something that's going to just trigger them, and then they'll kind of like lose the argument in a 7-minute spot. I always keep saying there has to be better media representation for those that get a chance to go and talk about cannabis in this forefront. And if something like this comes up and people can go and talk about this case and bring up forward, we need to get this case done. The judge needs to go ahead and act on this. I know they need time to go ahead and look at whatever investigations they need to have to go through, but they've also been delaying upon delay upon delay. Let's get somewhere with this. Let's finally resolve something. Let's see DC do something for once after all. So anyway, we'll leave it there. Let's go ahead and direct people one more time to the website, Strain Brain, StrainBrain.in. Remember, think of that rhyme. It almost makes it easy, really easy for you to go and remember the website. Go ahead and look at that. There's also some great information there. You have several case studies available you can look at on the website. Everything about the AI budtender and what's been available for retailers, for brands, sponsored booths, all that. I want you to just take a minute to go real quickly for those that go to the website, want to look and get themselves a demo. Tell them what they should be doing when they go to the website.
Take a look at the demo. We've got, as you said, the case studies, the features, et cetera. But really, what we love to do and where we shine is when we do a demo personalized to you. We can look at how your store is performing, who you're, what types of consumers you have, what are your business objectives, and we can use Strain Brain to help you boost your revenue, increase your margin, and increase customer loyalty, all while delivering an improved customer experience. So I would love to talk more about that with any listeners. This can really be a game changer for you.
I also want to make a mention to you that I'm glad we got you on the program, Dina. You came in from the legal field, entrepreneur, now a board member within NewLake Capital, and all that you've done so far, also in advocacy for communicating and government affairs. So much you've brought into the industry and your access, your background, and seriously, it's wonderful to have people like you in this space that are offering so much to the industry, so much to consumers and to retailers out there alike. And what you bring to the space. It's more people like you we're so happy to have in this space that really bring out the best in this industry. So, again, thank you for being on Blunt Business. So glad to have you on. I'm so glad we had the chance to talk.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really a pleasure.
And thank you, listeners, as always, for listening to the program. Obviously, cannabisradio.com, the Cannabis Radio app. Make sure you subscribe to the Blunt Business, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube Music, and wherever you get your podcasts, make sure to go and do that. And also, rate and review us over on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Make sure to go and drop in a 5-star comment, whatever you like. We hope you're going to do that. And we will talk to you next time. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady, something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.